There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 958, September 26th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Tsar Nicholas, a.k.a. Gotifi, is out in a palace coup at Williams, and we will be turning Japanese later in the show. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Roger-san.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, can LCH get it done in Singapore? Chance of showers this Sunday. Fernando, Velocity Invitational is coming up on October 14th. I'll see all the F1 Weekly listeners there at Laguna Seca. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the server. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nash, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. Getting ready for the big hurricane warning for Tampa in the next 48 hours. And more interesting, as you mentioned, rain is forecast for Singapore. And I was thinking, you know, when I read that, it rains a lot in Malaysia, Singapore, and, you know, in that part of the world. I may have missed, but I do not recall watching a rain hit Singapore Grand Prix ever. Have you? Do you recall that?
No, never.
Maybe the rain gods take a nap at night in Singapore. I don't know. But it was interesting. It's forecast for both Saturday and Sunday, which makes it possible for Max Verstappen to win easily. But it also makes it possible for somebody to keep his record going.
You mean Fernando?
Who?
He's that funny Spanish guy.
Oh, yes, yes. The cameraman, the anchorman. Yeah.
He's also known as the Candyman Can.
The Candyman.
The Candyman.
Ooh, the Candyman Can.
The Candyman Can.
Yes. And they also use another word that starts with C and ends with S. Chaos. The Chaos Man. You know, I'm going to tell you something. The other day I was listening to a Formula One gentleman and he was asked about Nando going to Aston Martin, how it will work out. And he said, the moment he cannot beat Lance Stroll, there will be mutiny on the Bounty there. I don't know if Lance has what it takes to beat Machismo, but stranger things have happened. You know, Machismo is no longer 25 years old. Driving the Mile 7 Renault and beating Michael Schumacher. But it's an interesting situation that is developing there. And sir, did you get a chance to look at the Formula One has released their schedule for 2023? Did you like that?
Since I don't work for Formula One, I do like it. Absolutely. But if you work within the compound, it's pretty brutal. It's a brutal schedule. It's unrealistic. It's evil. I mean, we're in countries we shouldn't have anything to do with. That's how I feel about it.
Well, you know, next year there will be 24 weekends of fun and laughter. And I think we all know which team will provide the laughter side, including three races here in the US of A. And I'm sure Mr. Rogers, F1 fans on the Eastern Seaboard are elated that they can watch live with a lot of Sin City pom-pom, the Grand Prix of Las Vegas at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I have to say, that is the best time to log in to DoorDash and order some Krispy Kreme donuts and Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And you know how much the New York people and the New Jersey people like this kind of stuff. The Vegas razzmatazz will be on full display, and let's just hope Greg Maffei is introduced as CEO of Liberty Media and not Liberty Mutual, as happened at the announcement of the race. And sir, speaking of those not working in Formula One being happy with the schedule, you and I included, there are 6 months where we have 3 races in each month, and in July there are 4 races. But Mr. Host, here is the sad part. No Grand Prix at Paul Ricard or Dijon-Prenois. Question of the day is, will you be sending a bouquet of Arizona cacti from Tucson to Signor Domenicali?
No, but I will be sending him. It's a facsimile of the large machete the Justice Department uses in Saudi Arabia. He will get a facsimile of their official machete, and he'll also get a Chinese fortune cookie.
Yeah, I know that machete is on their national flag also.
I know. Nobody, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know that machete is on their national flag also.
It's awesome.
Yes. But where are we now? But that's the way it goes. And, you know, as far as pointing fingers is concerned, a lot of people can point fingers in different directions. It's the money they are chasing. They don't care about anything else. What can you do? But, sir, the other big news of over the weekend past week was one down, one to go. Did you cry when the announcement came from Williams that they are releasing Nicholas Latifi from the contract?
I did tear up a little bit, but the United States highway system will be naming certain guardrails across the nation Latifi rails.
There you go. There you go. Okay, the reign of Tsar Nicholas is over at the end of the 2022 season. The Edmund Fitzgerald of Formula One will go down in history without a trace.
The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin.
His crash in Abu Dhabi last year will be his gichigumi in the annals of Grand Prix. Mr. Rogers, I have often wondered, how can a young driver have any old or new motivation to succeed when he has billions and billions waiting for him once he stops racing? Why are you risking your arms and legs? Now let's take a look at Latifi's long and winding road in the world of motor racing. He raced in European Formula 3 and also in World Series by Renault. This is the series which produced Sebastian Vettel, Robert Kubica, and the man who heard from Ron Dennis. Welcome to the world of winning, Mr. Heikki Kovalainen. Now I note with a lot of interest, in 2014, I was at the Nürburgring Formula 3/DTM race, and I had a nice chat with Latifi's manager, and I was also lucky enough to have a chat with another young driver who, like Latifi, was also racing in Formula 3 that day. And his first name started with Max, and his performance has lived up to his name. Our man Latifi did 4 full seasons of GP2/F2. Actually, he did more than that. And in his final year, he won 4 races, which is very impressive in GP2 and F2, and finished 2nd in the championship to the man who may replace him at Williams, Nyck de Vries. Did somebody say karma? Now that his Formula One career is coming to an end, Latifi can sleep like a log. Mr. Rogers, you asked me when Kimi retired if I will miss him. Now it's my turn to ask you, will you miss Latifi?
Huh. Well, let me put it this way. Williams' bank account is not going to miss Latifi. I know for sure that Hamilton's not going to miss Latifi, but I'm sure he'll open up a Latifi museum so he can emulate the machismos of the world. And when that museum is presenting its grand opening, we will definitely announce it here on F1 Weekly.
Yeah, you know, his museum will feature can feature a lot of cars if he brings in all the cars that he has crashed.
Exactly. And, of course, the guest speaker for the grand opening will be Pastor Maldonado.
Yes, and guess what? He's going to crash his rental car on the way to the function. Do you remember when he crashed his Williams F1 car on a demo lap, on the first lap of the demo he was going to do in Caracas, whatever it is called?
Sí, me acuerdo.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. That says it all about Pastor Maldonado. And sir, another driver I think you're going to miss too much is legend of your favorite series, NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson has announced his retirement. Did you shed a tear? Did the local Safeway run out of Kleenex boxes?
Well, you know, Jimmy's pretty big out here. So, yes, we are saddened by the news. But that opens the door for new and young upcoming talent.
You know, there is this young, very good American talent, Kyle Kirkwood. Man, if Chip Ganassi had put him in that car, he probably would have won a few races. That's a very good team and a very good program there. And I remember everywhere I saw, I went to a few IndyCar races, especially road races. All Jimmy Johnson was doing was spinning on lap one or shortly after the start. So it was, it really shows, you know, that people who go from IndyCars to NASCAR, it doesn't work out for them. And it's pretty much the same when the return expressway is taken. But he is a great legend in NASCAR, so we wish him well. And he's from El Cajon, Cali, near San Diego. So we wish him all the best. Okay, sir, we don't have much Formula One news. So shall we present our motorsports like a look around the world?
I love looking.
Yes. So we're going to be turning Japanese and Asian. Okay. A look at history of Formula One and other major motorsports event in Asia. Motorsport, sir. Have you ever been to Asia?
No, sir.
You have never been there. Okay. You should make a run to at least the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix or the your famous Machete Grand Prix and see how you like it there. But anyway, motorsports has a long history in the largest continent on Earth. The famous Macau Grand Prix was first staged in the 1950s. In the 1960s, this event I remember very well. I was nine years old. In 1968, the London to Sydney Marathon Rally went through Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India before cars were shipped to land down under. There was an Asian Grand Prix driver back in the 1940s and 50s, the Alexander Albon of his era, Prince Birabongs Panuban, better known as Prince Bira. He was in the very first Formula One race in 1950 at Silverstone. One of the first Japanese drivers to race regularly in Europe was Tetsu Ikuzawa. In the late 60s, he raced in the British F3 and Formula 2. Satoru Nakajima-san was the first full-time F1 Japanese driver, arigato to Honda. He had the immense pleasure of being teammate to Ayrton Senna at Lotus. Many moons and miso soups later, his son Kazuki would drive for Williams, arigato to Toyota. Other notable drivers from Nihon were Takuma Sato. He won the British F3 and the Macau Grand Prix. Kamui Kobayashi, who drove for Toyota and Sauber. Aguri Suzuki was the first Japanese driver to reach an F1 podium, and that was at his home race, Suzuka, 1990, when he was third. Later, he was man in charge of Super Aguri team, and Mr. Rogers, please pay attention. It was in this car Sato-san made a daring pass on Machismo in Montreal in 2007. And now we have for the third year in 2023, Yuki Tsunoda. Very quick but erratic. Let's see what he can do against Nyck de Vries if Dr. Marko gives wings to the Dutchman. So he will be either racing against Nyck de Vries or Pierre Gasly. Okay, sir. The first Formula One Championship Grand Prix in Asia was the epic 1976 finale at Mount Fuji Circuit. Just like Dijon Prenois 1979, people tend to forget or talk about who won the race in Heavy Rain, and that hombre was Mario Andretti in his Lotus. The first Formula One night race also took place in Asia, that honor going to Singapore. And for rocking the house and bringing the wall down, credit is due to Nelson Piquet Jr. The beautiful but hot and humid Sepang circuit in Malaysia also hosted Formula One races. And it was here in 2003, Machismo got his first pole position and Kimi Raikkonen got his first win. Then came Bahrain, where Machismo won on his Prancing Horse debut, which was very impressive. China, where both Red Bull and Mercedes under Toto got their first wins. Then came Indian Grand Prix, and I believe all three Indian Grand Prix were won by Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull. South Korea showed up in Grand Prix circles, but the race was in deep kimchi from the first event. Now we have great destination cities with deep love for motor racing and even deeper petrodollar pockets. Abu Dhabi, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. We can add Turkey to this list also, the beautiful Istanbul Park Circuit. Yes, the city is located in two continents, but the track is located on the Asian side. Sir, my humble opinion is of all the tracks designed by Mr. Herman, the German Tilke, Istanbul was the best and Sepang second best. What say you?
No, those are really great tracks. I agree with you. Outstanding, great elevation changes. Yes, he peaked right there and then flopped.
Yes. Okay, sir. While there have been many drivers from Japan, some other Asian nations have also provided drivers, like the legend of Alex Yung from Malaysia. He had the immense pleasure of being teammate to Fernando Alonso at Minardi. India provided Karun Chandok and Cucumber, Naren Karthikeyan. I am very pleased to say we have interviewed both of them. And today, fast Chinese takeout is provided by Guan Yu Zhu or Guan Yu Zhou, and fast Thai is provided by Alex Albon. Now, there have been designers in Formula One from Asia also, most notable being Iqbal Hamidi, who worked at few teams, including Jordan. He is originally from Iran. Sir, before I rest my case, Your Honor, a very honorable mention has to be made of Miss Monisha Kaltenborn, who is originally from India, but was raised and educated in Austria. You know, her family was on her way to Texas. They were going to move to Texas, and then they stopped to visit some family members in Austria, and I guess they liked the sound of music and stayed there. But she has done very well for herself. I mean, she's a very well-educated lawyer and held some very important jobs. And then, you know, she and some other lady had started a racing team, but then it was discontinued. But I think a lot of Formula One fans will remember her for signing three drivers to two seats. And that really, her career got guidoed by Vandia Garde. That's the sad end of that story. Anything you might want to add, sir?
I love those history spots you give us. It's good for us. But, you know, I was laughing when you said that. I'm still chuckling a little bit that Lance Stroll might outdrive or outqualify or outdo any Fernando in the world.
No, outrace. That's the scary part.
That is pretty far-fetched, Nass. You've gone out on a limb before, but that one, whew, man. Don't break your neck on that limb, Nass.
You know this guy they brought into Aston Martin team, Michael Krack? Gerhard Berger is no fan of this guy. He made a comment that, actually that's what I was referring to. He said that Lance Stroll held his own against Sebastian Vettel, and he's going to surprise a few with his performance against Alonso. Now the question is, he is talking about the son of his employer. So, would you expect anything else?
No, that was the right thing to say. Keep up the good work, Mr. Crack.
Yes, and don't be a crackpot, okay?
Gracias.
Yeah, so we'll see how it works out. What are you expecting from the Gran Premio de Singapura?
It's going to be exciting. Max is going to just put it away. He'll be laughing and giggling. He's going to continue to keep the pedal to the metal. It's going to be fascinating. I think all eyes on Ferrari to turn it around, to do something. And of course, a couple of eyes are on LCH, whether he can get his one win so he can go on with the record of all records. That's not that important right now. Well, we want to see when Max puts us away and when Leclerc starts crying.
I was looking at the races the last time, correct me if I'm wrong, last time the Ferrari team won a road race, street race, was in Melbourne, Australia, which was many months ago. And with Max, he has won at Zandvoort, he has won at Superfast Monza, he's winning everywhere, so I have no reason to believe that Mercedes will come up with a one-trick pony for the season and Lewis will beat the hell out of Max. Will be great if it happens, but I don't see it happening. Frankly, you know, if Lewis was quoted as saying that he don't give a damn if he does not win a race, that's not important, which could be a statement of showing I'm machismo. But I would love to see him get that win, but realistically, Mercedes will have to come up with something special, and then Max will have to be a DNF. It's getting very, very hard. Few races remaining now. The heat is on. The pressure is on. But if there's a race heavily impacted by rain from the start, then I can see LCH doing what he did in Brazil last year and let Max Verstappen know, hello, I can race still. And that'll be fantastic. We want a good competition, not a free giveaway.
I remember that. We do want competition. And I do love that. It's going to be exciting. And you know what I really thought was interesting is some of the comments out of Valtteri Bottas as he's now driving for Alpha, saying that Alpha is more like a racing team, whereas Mercedes is a large behemoth company. And there's a big difference between the two. And he really likes the atmosphere and the ambiance.
Yeah, but you know, the feeling would be the same if his teammate was at Alfa Romeo was Max or Lewis. So it's you're a victim of your circumstances, you know.
Totally, Nasser. And on that note, why don't we take a quick break and come back with a hot and spicy Motorsports Mondial. So we'll be back with this brief message.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Florida with legend of legends, Sir Stirling Moss. Sir, welcome to F1 Weekly. How are you today?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm sorry the sun isn't shining better, but we had nice weather here and we're just relaxing, so that's good.
Is this where you reside mostly during wintertime?
No, I mean, this is a place we've got in America, in Florida here. And we come here whenever I've got anything to do over here. In other words, I came over this time, Amelia Island, and I've got a thing with Mercedes at the weekend. And then, of course, later in the year, they've got Pebble Beach and Laguna Seca. So anytime we're going anywhere like that, somebody else is paying the bill, then we're here.
Now, you've raced in this country before, and we have quite a few good tracks here. What's your favorite track in the U.S.?
Well, you've got course circuits that didn't exist when I was here, but I think, frankly, probably my favorite was Laguna Seca. Riverside, Watkins Glen was not bad. I think they did actually have better circuits than the one I drove on. But I think I'd probably say Laguna Seca is the best, or Road America. You know, I don't really mind any. I prefer proper road circuits, but of course that you don't have many of those.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. In now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Rogers, Saturday, I was totally elated. You know, we don't have a lot of racing going on. No Indy cars, no Formula One. But there was MotoGP from Motegi, another track owned by Honda. And the reason for my happiness was Mr. Marc Marquez got his first pole position in about 3 years for Honda. So I thought, man, this is fantastic. And this was also the first MotoGP pole position for Honda since the British MotoGP last year. So without Marc Marquez is their Max Verstappen. If he's not there, they're not winning. In the race, Marquez was passed by few riders at the start and was first man off the podium in fourth at the end. Jorge Martin was third, second was Brad Binder from South Africa, and top of the podium was man from Land Down Under, Mr. Jack Miller for Ducati. Championship hopeful Paco Bagnaia crashed out on the final lap, which is not very smart. Fabio Quartararo is the monster man of Yamaha, leading the championship at 219 points. Benyaya is second with 201 points. Now we go to DTM, the German Tin Top Series racing at Red Bull Ring over the past weekend. Nick Cassidy from New Zealand in the Ferrari was the winner in race one. David Schumacher, son of Ralph, was 16th in a Mercedes. Race 2 winner was Tomas Preining in a Porsche. Indian driver Arjun Maini was 4th in his Mercedes. Oh, very impressive for him. And good for him. And Mr. Rogers, are you ready for some football? Finally, from FIA, we have a TD for Colton Herta. The young IndyCar superstar from Southern California gets official memo from FIA, if not the NFL, your super license application is formally TD. According to Zach Brown, half of the IndyCar field is capable of Formula One super license, and this view is shared by many. And maybe they are right. The only way to find out how good somebody is to give them an opportunity in Formula One or Formula Two, if they are interested. What is lost in the fog of war of words is that a lot of these IndyCar drivers had chances and opportunities in Europe for a few seasons in junior series. They include Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, Alexander Rossi, Marcus Ericsson, Felix Rosenquist, Will Power, Connor Daly, and Colton Herta himself. Of these people, none of them won the GP2 championship, now known as Formula 2, and only one, Felix Rosenquist, won the Formula 3 championship after racing in the series for many years. I think he won in his fifth year. That's where the problem is. The clear path to Formula 1 is winning the Formula 2 championship in your rookie season and not be more than 20 or 21 years old. And this formula has worked very well for Rosberg, Hamilton, Russell, and Leclerc. It's like this, Mr. Rogers. We are in football season, so we have to use football lingo. Let's say you were Vince Lombardi at Pacoima State College, okay? And there was a quarterback who throws 32 touchdowns in his first season in college football, and the other one throws 17 touchdowns in 5 seasons. Guess who will be invited to barbecue with some deep-fried onion rings and baked potato with Jerry Jones in Dallas, Texas? And you know a thing or two about meat and potatoes and quiche Lorraine. Your opinion on this issue, IndyCar drivers with F1 aspirations, are they Stella Artois or Yingling?
These people, the American system, I think, should get a little more respect from the FIA. I mean, look how little points Kimi Raikkonen would have gathered because he jumped from karting to single-seaters and maybe did, what, 23 races in Formula Renault, and then he moved right to Formula One. So he may not have qualified for a super license. So it's all relative, but I think maybe the FIA, and maybe we should be nicer with the FIA. Maybe we get Biden to call Mohamed Sulayem and say, "What's up, my brother?"
No, I think Sarah Palin can sweet-talk them into anything.
It's the glasses, Nasser.
Yes. No, I think, you know, there are two issues here. One, I totally agree that they should give more points to winners of IndyCar racing. You know, if the winner of the Formula W Championship gets a super license, please, you're going to deny somebody who has won 7 races in IndyCars and who is the youngest IndyCar race winner. That's it needs to be changed. But then, you know, the other problem is all these drivers I mentioned who raced in Europe and did not get into Formula One with the top team. The problem is, Vindo, it's not that they are not good drivers. I'm sure with the right opportunity, with good people around them, they will do very well. The problem is, window of opportunity is very, very small. I mean, it's like this, man. If you're going to take, I mean, just look at the Nyck de Vries situation. He took 3 years to win Formula Renault. That's why no top team called him. In fact, he was in the McLaren driver development program. With the performance like that, despite being managed by Anthony Hamilton, they dropped him. And then he took 3 years to win GP2 / Formula 2. That's not what the top teams are looking for. And the other problem in Formula 1, which a very driver who's very well placed in America, be it Pato O'Ward or Colton Herta, is if you're not with the right car, winning car, you're not going to win. I mean, look at Cristiano D'Amato. That's a great talent here. and he went to Torda and came back pretty quickly.
You're absolutely right. I mean, that was sad. And, you know, the biggest problem is the American teams, they really would like to see an American driver in the mix in F1. But it's also not just an American driver. He's got to have the right charisma, the personality, the je ne sais quoi, the untouchables. You see what I'm saying? It's a package of personality. And some people were hoping and thought perhaps Colton Herta had that pedigree and that charisma to maybe be successful, at least be interesting in Formula One, especially when we have three races in the United States next year. Could you imagine Colton Herta being on AlphaTauri? The car is somewhat competitive at times. It's a Honda package. It would have been awesome, but once again, I hate to say this to everybody because I repeat myself quite often, but the people who suffer the most is you and I, the little people of Paris.
Yes. And I want to tell you something. I've had this discussion with several racing people here in the USA, people involved in racing. What really will make a difference is, you know, the real sad part is if you look at the top 50 global corporations, largest corporations, most of them are based in the United States. A lot of them are based in one city, New York City, right? Can you imagine if a big behemoth like Amazon or Microsoft or so many other companies out there, they say, you know what, I want to see an American guy win in Formula One. And they take a competitive guy like Alexander Rossi. I'm a big fan of AJ Allmendinger just because of his performance, nothing else. If they take somebody like that, or Logan Sargeant, who in his first year is doing a very good job, give them a three-year contract with a good team where the machete from Dr. Marco or Saudi Arabia, the Democles sword is not hanging on them. I think they will do very well, win races, and if you get into the right winning package, you can also win the championship. But without big corporate support, just look at Venezuelan oil company PDVSA throwing millions and millions of dollars and one fine day. Pastor, as Hugo Chavez said, our pastor beat machismo on home soil. And the third man on the podium was Kimi Raikkonen. And that picture of Kimi Raikkonen, Alonso lifting him in the air, is one of my all-time favorite racing photos. So it will just take a lot of big corporate money to put a competitive American driver in Formula Uno. And hopefully it will happen in our lifetime. And on that note, you know, the last time a race was won by an American driver, 1978 Dutch Grand Prix. How sad is that?
I completely agree. And I think the trend is moving towards American drivers. We have, like you just said, Logan Sargeant in the wings, another great talent. And don't forget your buddy, Hugo Chukwu. He is an American. And he,
Hugo Chukwu,
your favorite, he's an F4, I believe. He's third in the championship. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but F4 is very competitive, and these people will move along and go through the system, get those points, and we will see an American in F1. The problem is, like you said, hopefully it's going to be in the next few months or a few years maximum.
Yeah, Hugo Ogochikwo is under the patronage of Mr. Zach Brown, and he's doing a very good job I think he's in British Formula 4, but I'm going to tell you what really is going on in the European Formula 4 season. You know, this is all an FIA initiative. We have F4 here in the US also. They have F4 Germany, F4 Italy, all have the same type of cars, but the kid who came through the same time frame as Hugo, he's known as Kimi Antonelli. I've mentioned his name many times. Man, this guy is going like a Raikkonen or a Max in Formula 4. And he is part of the Toto Wolff program. So, you know, we wish everybody all the best. And their results will take them whatever it takes them. And we'll keep reporting on them. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to have the UAE Formula 4 Championship. There's another young British kid, you know, Ollie Bierman. he is also making a big name for himself in his first, I think he's in his first or second year of single seater racing. So there's a lot of good talent coming through the system, and hopefully one of them will be Amerikanski.
Sí, que bueno.
Okay, now moving on, sir. Let's see, Ducati in Delhi. Spanish company Dorna, organizer of MotoGP races, has signed an agreement in the Indian capital to race for 7 years. The event will take place at the former home of the Formula One Grand Prix circuit. I think it's called the Booth Circuit, just outside Delhi. They need to keep Naren Karthikeyan out of the MotoGP in India, because if Marc Marquez finds a cucumber on the road, that would be far more dangerous than it was for Sebastian Vettel. Carmelo Ezpeleta is the CEO of Dorna. If he thought paella was spicy, wait till he chow down some serious curry in India. Then he will most definitely have a mighty fine, spicy Delhi belly. Now, sir, this is interesting. Talk about number of races. Formula One is looking into in-flight quesadilla and a race in Barranquilla. Montoya could be the honorary starter and driver of the jet dryer at the proposed Colombian Grand Prix, coming soon to a track near Barranquilla. According to El Jefe and local mayor Jaime Pumarejo, Formula One people have visited the city and they like what they see. A fistful of dollars never hurt in dealings with landing a Formula One date. Let's just hope common sense prevail and the Grand Prix in Britain is not replaced by a Grand Prix in Barranquilla. Que paso? What say you, senor?
Well, you know what they say. If it's in Colombia, there's plenty of money and the cartel will take care of it. All that stuff.
Okay, sir. Anything else you want to discuss before we move into a musical mondial?
No, and I'm feeling it. You know, I could use a little musical mondial to end the week or to start the week. My week ends on Mondays. So, but yes, I want to remind everybody the Velocity Invitational is October 14th, that weekend. It's going to be awesome. It's an elegant gentleman's race of the vintages. A lot of hip people like me and Nasser hang out at these kinds of affairs. So it's a great opportunity. You can email me if you're going to go there. Once again, Velocity Invitational, October 14th weekend at Laguna Seca in beautiful Monterey, California. Nasser?
Okay, sir, for Musical Mondial, since Formula One goes from place to place and flows in every direction, let's have some Gypsy River as performed by the orchestra of Paul Maurier. Thank you for listening. Please enjoy.
Good night.